Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Vav, and we are holding out the Mishnah on the very top of daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. And today's daf is going to bring us back to Treifas, right before we get into the next part of the Masechta, where we have each parak about a different topic, also Vespino and Kisei Adam, and we're going to get Gid Anosh, and we're going to talk about all the halachas of Basar B'Chalav and Kashrus and everything else. We have one last daf about Treifas that we get to to discuss. So we're going to talk about the treifos of the leg of the animal, different treifos that dafka come up in the leg of an animal, and that's going to be the topic of the Mishnah. And then the Gemara is going to identify the spot that the Mishnah calls Minarkuva Ulamala and Minarkuva Ulamata, because apparently that's a very critical spot where the cutting of the leg of the animal will determine whether it's a treifa or not a treifa. And then the Gemara is going to have three different shitos for exactly where the Tzomas Hagidin is, because that also is going to be a critical element, whether the Tzomas Hagidin is cut, so what is called the Tzomas Hagidin, so three different possibilities we're going to have in the Gemara. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss the number of Gidim that need to be cut in order to make an animal a Treifa, both by a Behema and by an oath. And then the Gemara in the middle of Amud Beis is going to talk about at what point a broken leg bone would make the limb that's broken an Eivar HaMeduldal, with all of the ramifications of that we've been discussing for the past couple of days. And then we're going to define Rov HaBasar Kayam by a broken bone, because the Mishnah is going to talk about that as well, that a broken bone may make a difference whether Rov of the Basar that surrounds it is Kayam. So what's called Rov HaBasar Kayam? How do we measure that Rov? So that's going to be those are the topics of today's daf. Let's give it our best shot to try to figure out what's going on over here. So in order to understand any of this, we need to understand a little bit. We should probably understand a lot, but I can't do that. But at least a little bit of the understanding of the anatomy of the animal's leg. So there are three bones on the hind legs of the animal. The top bone is called the colus, and that's on its top. It's connected to the tailbone, and on its bottom, it's connected to the second bone, which is called the shoke. So the second bone, the middle bone of the animal's leg, it's made up of three bones. The middle bone of the animal's leg is the shoke, which at the bottom is of the shoke, there is a tzomes hagidim. There is this cluster of gidim, of sinews, of veins. And the etzem that's underneath that, the bottom bone, is the regel, and that's connected to the hooves, where the animal obviously uses to walk, and that's called the arkuva hanim keres imarosh. So between the bottom and the middle bone, there's another tiny bone called the arkum, which is a smaller bone. But the three long bones are the ones that we've been identifying. So now says the Mishnah, behema shenechtechu ragleha min ha'arkuva ulamata ksheira min ha'arkuva lamala psula. If one of the hind legs of the animal is cut, so if it's minarkuva, the joint that connects the bones and below, then it's kasha. That's not going to cause the animal to be a treifa. But minarkuva lamaila, if it's above that joint that the leg gets cut, then psula, then the animal is going to be a treifa. We use the term psula, but again, it means that the animal is going to be a treifa. The Taras Habayis of the Rashba points out that if the animal was born that way, only if it's missing the entire regel is it a treifa, but otherwise it would not be considered a treifa just by, I mean, this has to be an event that happens, that the leg gets cut in these spots, that's where it's going to make the animal a treifa. Another way to treif up an animal based on the leg, v'chein shenital tzomas hagidin, if the tzomas hagidin, that cluster of gidim, is removed, that's where the gidim are connected to each other and appear like they're one giant gid, so if they're found underneath the middle bone, right before the joint, so even though the bone isn't cut, the bone isn't broken, but the tzomes hagidin is removed, that too would make the animal a treifa. And then a third halacha in the Mishnah, nishbar etzem, if the bone is broken but not cut, imrov habasar kayam, if most of the flesh that's around that bone is still there, then shchitas mitarato, the shchita of the behema will be mitar the ever, meaning it's not considered an ever amaduldol, it's an ever of the behema, and it's totally fine with the shechita. Meaning, when we say that it's metayer, we don't only mean that it's not Eivar Menachai, we mean that it's mamish kosher ba'achila, that it's not considered an Eivar Medulldol, it's considered an Eivar of the animal, so you do the shechita, it's perfectly kosher. V'imlav, but if the basar does not cover rove of that bone, of that broken bone, ein shechita semetayerato, then the shechita will not be metayer that Eivar. And even though the shechita on the behema might be kosher, because the break is in a part that does not make the animal a trefa, so the shechita on the behema might make the rest of the animal kosher, but this limb is considered an evra medulldol, it's not considered to be part of the behema, and therefore the shechita is not going to be matir this limb. So three basic halachas in the Mishnah. One is where exactly on the leg would a cut make the animal a trefa, dafka min arkuva lamaila, but not min arkuva lamata. Then we had second, that if the tzomas hagidin is missing, that too could make an animal a trefa. And then we had the idea that if a bone is broken, whether that limb is considered to be removed from the animal depends on whether you have rove basar that covers the break. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So this is going on the first halacha. We said the arkuva connects different bones in the leg, but we're not sure which arkuva. Meaning the Mishnah said min arkuva lamata is ksheira, min arkuva lamayla is psula. But where is the arkuva? There we identified three different bones. Which joint are we talking about that the leg can't be cut above that joint? And if it is, it would make the animal trefa. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rabbi Chiya says lamata. When the Mishnah says that it's min arkuva lamata, it's going to be kosher, it means lamata min arkuva, right beneath the arkuva. So lamala, lamala min arkuva, and lamala means right above the arkuva. Be'ezo arkuva amru, great, that's wonderful, I could have figured out lamata means beneath, lamala means above, but where's this arkuva? Ba'arkuva hanim keres imarosh, that's the joint in between the bottom and the middle bone. If the leg is cut underneath that joint, right next to it, even right below it, that's the bottom bone, and that's going to be kosher. But if it's cut right above it, that's the meaning right at the beginning of the middle bone, that's right where the tzomas hagidin is, then it's going to be a trefa. And certainly, if anywhere higher up on the middle bone, would definitely make the animal a trefa. That is the shita. That is the first shita. Says the Gemara, that's Rabbi Chiya, right? Says Gemara, Ula says the name Rabbi Yoshaya, that no, kinegdo begamal nikr, that the arkuva that we're talking about is where the corresponding arkuva on a gamal protrudes, meaning it would be easy to see on a camel. That's the arkuva that connects the middle bone to the top bone. And that's what he's saying, if the leg gets cut beneath that joint, what connects the middle bone to the top bone, that's going to be kosher. So anywhere along the middle bone would be kosher. It's only if it gets cut above that joint, meaning somewhere on the top bone, that it's going to be a problem. So Amalei Ula the Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlam Didida Amina Kenegda Begamal Nikar. According to me, that it's only somewhere on the top bone that will make the behema trefa, but anywhere in the middle bone, the behema is still going to be okay. Hainu Dukatani V'chein Shenital Tzomas Hagidin. That's why we need a separate halacha in the Mishnah, that if the Tzomas Hagidin is removed, even though in the middle bone is going to be kosher if it's cut anywhere along the length of the middle bone, but if the Tzomas Hagidin is removed, it's going to be a trefa. So I would not have known that just from the din of Nechtcha Regel, because Nechtcha Regel is only going to be a problem on the top bone. So you have to tell me an additional chiddush, but there is something that could happen lower down on the leg that would still make the animal a trefa, and that is that Nitla Tzomas Hagidin. But according to you, that the arkuva that we're talking about is the middle bone, and anywhere along the middle bone, the animal is going to be a trefa. So my v'chein shenitel tzomas hagidin. Why does the Mishnah have to give another case of trefa of nitel tzomas hagidin if the regel is cut? The tzomas hagidin is cut as well. So why do you have to tell me the din of nitel tzomas hagidin? It's included in the din of nechtcha regel, meaning it's not any additional chiddush. So Amalei Rav Yehuda says to Ula, the Mishnah is talking about two separate cases. The Reisha, when it talks about a broken bone, Rechuva below Tzomas Hagidin. That's talking about where the bone is broken, but the Tzomas Hagidin is still intact. v'tzomus hagidin below ruchuva. And the sefer, when it talks about the tzomus hagidin, it's talking about where the tzomus hagidin is cut, but the bone is still, the middle bone is still intact. And either one of those things will make the animal a trefa, either a broken middle bone, l'shitasi, or a cut tzomus hagidin would make the animal a trefa. So asks Ula on Rav Yudas Teretz, v'nechtechu katani. The Reisha of the Mishnah says nechtechu implies that the entire regel is cut together with the tzomus hagidin. So how can you say the Reisha is talking about a case where only the bone is cut but the tzomus hagidin is intact? It says nechtechu. So ishtik, Rav Yudah didn't respond to that. Labasu denafik, after Ula left, Ula was one that was attacking Rav Yehuda with this kasha, right? So after Ula left, Amar, my time alo amrele, so Rav Yehuda said to himself, you know, I could have given him an answer. I was quiet and I let him get the last word, but I could have answered him that the Mishnah is talking about that the regel is entirely cut. But lamata, lamata min arkuva. Lamata, when it says lamata in the Mishnah, it means underneath the arkuva and from the tzomus hagidin, that if the bottom bone is cut, it's kosher. Lamala doesn't mean right above the arkuva, it means that it's cut somewhere higher. Lamala means tzomus hagidin, higher up on that middle bone, above the tzomus hagidin. So not every time it's cut lamala, do you also have the problem of the cut tzomus hagidin? It could be that that you're cutting just the bone higher than where the tzomus hagidin is going to make it a trefa. So that's why the Mishnah needed to be mechadesh, that if you cut the regel in the middle bone above the tzomus hagidin, it's a trefa. And also to add another chiddush, that if the tzomus hagidin is taken without cutting the bone, it's a trefa because of the gidin themselves forgetting the bone. So meaning to say that it's not necessarily right above that joint that the that we would define as min arkuva lamayla. Min arkuva lamayla may be a little bit more above that joint, a little bit higher along that middle bone. Hadar Amar, then Rabbi Yehuda said, you know what, it's better that I didn't say that answer. That's what I could have answered Ula when he was asking his questions on me. Better that I didn't. Velo Armile, because didn't I already answer a good answer? I said that the Reish is talking about the cutting of the bone without the Gidin. And he didn't accept that answer. V'amrli nechtechu katani. And he asked on me and he said, no, but it says nechtechu, which makes it sound like both the Etzem and the Gidim are cut. So he didn't accept my answer. So Achanam, if I would have given him this answer as well, he would have said, min arkuva l'mayla katani. What do you mean that min arkuva l'mayla is higher up on the middle bone? It says min arkuva l'mayla. It says right above the joint. It's going to be a trefa. That's the place where the tzomus hagidin is. So if the regal is cut, the gidim are cut as well. So you can't say l'mayla means higher up on the bone above the tzomus hagidin. He would never have accepted that answer from me. I know my customers. I know that he didn't accept my last answer. He wouldn't have accepted this answer. So I should stop second guessing myself on what I could have responded to Ula. So now the Gemara brings a different lashon where Rav Yehuda and Ula don't actually argue la halacha. Rav Papa Masnihachi. Rav Papa taught Rav Yehuda as follows: that Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chia, lemata min arkuva umitzomas hagidin. When it says lemata, that if the bone gets cut, the leg gets cut underneath min arkuva lemata, it means underneath the tzomus hagidin, the tzomus hagidin is located at the bottom of the middle bone. So underneath that, the bottom bone is always going to be kosher. Wherever it's cut on the bottom bone of the leg is always going to be kosher. Lemaila, when it says lemaila min arkuva, umitzomas hagidin. Lemaila means not just above that joint, but above the tzomus hagidin as well. That and that's referring to the top bone on the leg, where it's always going to be a trefa. And what about the middle bone? V'chein shenitel tzomus hagidin. And when we say v'chein shenitel tzomus hagidin, that's when we first start to talk about the middle bone on the leg. That there's sometimes that it's going to be cut, that it's going to be a treifa, and sometimes the middle bone will be cut, it will be kosher. And it all depends on the tzomas hagidin. If the leg is cut on the bottom half of the bone where the tzomas hagidin is, then it's going to be a treifa. But if the middle bone is cut on the top half where the tzomas hagidin is not, then it's going to be a kshera. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that the very top bone, if it's cut, of course the animal is going to be a treifa. The very bottom bone, if it's cut, of course the animal is going to be a kshera. What about the middle bone? So it depends where on the middle bone. If the middle bone is cut right by the area of the tzomas hagidin, treifa. But higher up on the middle bone, when you're not in the area of tzomas hagidin, that's going to be kshera. V'arkuva gufa, the arkuva itself that the Mishnah is explaining, k'du'ulam Rabbi Yoshaya. It means the arkuva aliona, that's nikar begamal. So higher than that means the top bone where it's going to be a treifa. Meaning the definition of arkuva means the joint between the top and the middle bones. So it turns out that according to Ula and Rav Papa, if the middle bone is cut on the top part of the middle bone, the animal is going to be kosher. But on the bottom part of the middle bone, where the tzomas hagidin is located, the animal is going to be a treifa. That's unusual, right? You would imagine the higher up you cut, the more likelihood that the animal is going to be a treifa. Says Maramika Midi Dilamadi Pasukle V'chaya Mitati Pasukle Mesa. Is there such a limb on an animal that if you cut it higher up, the animal is going to live and it's going to be kosher? You cut it lower down, the animal is going to die and it's going to be a treifa? It's just not mistaver that's the way that the anatomy of the animal should work. But according to what we're explaining now, that's exactly what we're saying. So it says Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Treifos Kamadamas La'adadi. Yeah, you can't compare, you know, a cut in one part of an animal to a cut in another part of an animal, a break in one part of an animal to a break in another. You just can't make such comparison. It's not based on svara, it's based on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the anatomy of an animal. Ein omrin b'treifos zu doma lezu. We don't say to a treifa, oh look, there's a hole in the lung of this size will make the animal a treifa. So mele a hole in the leg of the animal this size make an animal treifa. It doesn't work like that. Every aver has its own kochos, so you can't compare one to the other. Shari chod chamikanu mesa, chod chamikan v'chaya. You cut an animal in one place, the animal will die. You cut an animal somewhere else, and the animal will live. There could be like these very sensitive parts of a body where a cut or a bruise will kill it instantly, and other parts where it won't be a big deal. It will be able to recover. So yeah, the tzomas hagidin is such a sensitive spot that if you cut by the tzomas hagidin, it's going to be a treifa. But if you cut above the tzomas hagidin in a chinami, it's going to be kshera. Now the Mishnah had said that if nitel tzomas hagidin, it's a treifa. Now, but we haven't identified the exact location of tzomas hagidin. So for these shittos, it's really helpful to have pictures. I'm sure you know the Masifta has not such great pictures, but it has some picture along of what these three shittos that we're about to describe are. But it's helpful. The eluin tzomas hagidin. Where along the leg is the tzomas hagidin? So three shittos. Rabba Amar Ravashi. Rabba says the name Ravashi. The agarma ulavar. The gidin on the that are in the middle bone toward the outside and above. That over the middle joint there are three etzbaos that have that don't have any basar, that they're just gidim that surround the bone in that area, and that's not the tzomas hagidim. It's when they separate from the etzem and they go toward the basar, into the basar. That's what we call the tzomas hagidim. But as long as they're still smus mukshurim, as long as they're still totally clustered, they look like a single gid. That's the tzomas hagidim. Until they're mispashet and they branch off in different directions. So when it goes into the basar, the spot where it goes into the basar as a single cluster, that's called the tzomas hagidin. Rabba Barav Huna Amar Ravashi da agarma ulagav. The gidin in the middle bone and inward to the joint, that only where they're completely connected to the bone, where there's no basar at all, then the lower part of the joint, that's the tzomas hagidin. But lemaila, when they start going into the basar, that's not called called the Tzomas Hagidim anymore. And then the third opinion, Rava Bered, the Rava Bar Rav Huna Amar Ravasi, the Ilavei Arkuma, the Gidim from the Arkum bone, and above is the Tzomas Hagidim. The Arkum is the bone that's between the middle and the bottom major bones of the leg. Remember we said that there's a small bone in between the middle bone of the leg and the bottom bone of the leg. So above that is where the Tzomas Hagidim begins, where if you cut the leg between the Arkum and the middle bone, it's going to be a Trefa. So the Tzomas Hagidim stops when the Gidim start being Mispashet, start separating from each other, and this third Shita is the largest shear of what's called Tzomas Hagidim. So we know the basic general area on the animal that a Tzomas Hagidim is, that it's somewhere around the bottom part of the middle bone, but exactly how long along the bottom part of the middle bone, those are the three Shitos that we have. Yasavu Me'arban Kamed Rabbi Abba, so a certain Talmud Chacham was sitting in front of Rabbi Abba, V'yasavu Ka'amar, Da'arkum Magufa, even the Gidim that are connected, the Arkum bone itself, is also called Tzomas Hagidim. So Amalei Rabbi Abba, Lo Tetzaisile, Rabbi Abba told us, Talmidim, don't listen to this old man, he's expanding the Tzomas Hagidim well beyond where it should be, meaning he thinks that Tzomas Hagidim goes all the way to the bone that's beneath the middle bone, meaning the bone that connects the middle bone and the bottom bone. Hachiyam Rav Yehuda used to tell us that the Tzomas Hagidim is Hecha de Pari Tabachi, that it's the place where the butchers would cut when they want to skin the leg off of the animal. They would want to take the skin off of the leg of the animal. That's where a butcher would cut. V'hainu Rava Bered Rava Baravuna Amar Rabbi Asi, and that was the sheet of Rava Bered Rava Baravuna Amar Rav Asi, who was the second of the three sheetos. No, that was the third of three shitos. It's above the etzema arkum. It's above the arkum bone. So the Gemara brings the sheet of Shmuel as far as the place of Tzomas Hagidim. So Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Tzomas Hagidim Sha'amru, Makom Shagidim Tzomsin. It's the place where all the Gidim are completely connected to each other and it looks like one giant Gid. So it's Mina Etzema Arkum Ulamaila. So it says Gemara Va'ad Kama, and how long does it extend? Does the Tzomas Hagidim, meaning that's where it starts, but where does it go up until going upward? Amalahua, Umir Rabbanan, Rav Yaakov Shemei. So Umir Rabbanan, whose name was Rav Yaakov, said, Ki avinan be Rav Yehuda amarlan, when we were learned by Rav Yehuda, he told us, Shimun mini milsa demigavar rabba shmieli. Listen to something I heard from an Adam Gadol. Umanu, and who is this Adam Gadol? Shmuel. And that is, Tzomas Hagidim Sha'amru, Makom Shagidim Tzomsin Bo, Umi Makom Shetzomsin Ad Makom Shemispashtin. That it's the place where the Gidim are clustered together up until they start to branch out. Where they start to branch out, that is no longer the Tzomas Hagidim. So ask Gemara, according to Shmuel, that it's for the place where they're clustered until they branch out. V'kama, how big is that? Meaning, if you had to measure, how long is the Tzomas Hagidim? So Rabbi Arba Batti, it's the length of the width of four etzbaos. Bitora, at least on an ox, meaning obviously on a Behema Gassan, a Behema Daka, you're going to have different size Tzomas Hagidim, but on a typical ox, the entire Tzomas Hagidim is the length of four etzbaos, which is another way of saying a tefach, right? A tefach is four etzbaos. So that's going to be the shear of Tzomas Hagidim. The Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Shechita says, not like Rashi, not that it's four etzbaos, but that it's shesh etzrei etzbaos. That a batata itself, one batata, is four etzbaos. So that's why we use such an unusual expression, right? Why wouldn't you just say it's a tefach, right? So we're saying that it's arba batati, it's four of these other measurements that are four etzbaos on an ox. So bedaka mai. So I ask the Gemara, okay, but what about on a behema daka? How long is the Tzomas Hagidim? Amar Abayi says there is no set shear. It all depends on examining the animal. But bliti havu Tzomas Hagidim, in a place where it's nicker before the gidim get completely absorbed and swallowed up inside the flesh. So that's the Tzomas Hagidim. Meaning when the gidim look independent of the flesh, that's the area of the Tzomas Hagidim. Bliti Ri'i. But once it's already Balua inside the flesh, Lo Avut Tzomas HaGidim. That's not the Tzomas HaGidim anymore, even though there are Gidim in that area, but they're already inside the flesh. Ashuni Havut Tzomas HaGidim. In a place where the Gidim are hard, that's the Tzomas HaGidim. Rakichi, but if they're soft, Lo Avut Tzomas HaGidim. That's not called the Tzomas HaGidim. Alimi, if they're very large, Havut Tzomas HaGidim. That's the Tzomas HaGidim. Kitini, but when they're very small, when they're very narrow, Lo Avut Tzomas HaGidim. These are all simanim of being able to tell which part is still the Tzomas HaGidim. Chivri, if they're white, the Gidim are white, Havut Tzomas HaGidim. Lo Chivri, they're not white, then Lo Avut Tzomas HaGidim, then that's not called the Tzomas HaGidim anymore. Mar Bar Avashi Amar, Kiven de zige afalgav de lo chivre. Since the gidim are clear and white a little bit, even though they're not mamish white, that's also called the tzomas hagidim. I mean, when we say white, it doesn't have to be mamish pure white. It could be a little bit translucent or something. That also would be considered like the tzomas hagidim. Okay, so we had said in the Mishnah that if the tzomas hagidim is cut, the animal's a trefa. So how many gidim are there in the animal, and how many of them have to be cut for us to call it, meaning tzomet, by definition, it means a cluster of gidim. So you're going to tell me that tzomet ha-gidim is cut, it makes it a trefa. How many of the gidim that are in that cluster have to be cut in order for it to be a trefa? How much of each one has to be cut in order for it to be a trefa? So it says Gemara, Amar Amemer Mishmed Rav Zvid, Tlasa Chute Havu, that there are, the tzomet ha-gidim has three gidim. Chad Alima, one is a much stronger, thicker gid, Utrei Katini, and two of them are smaller, narrower gidin. If Sikalima, if the big one is the one that snapped and not the smaller ones, Azdorov Binyan, then the majority of the binyan of the Tzomas HaGidin is gone, because the larger gid is on its own is larger than the other two combined. So when you cut that larger gid, Rov Binyan of the Tzomas HaGidin no longer exists, even though in terms of number, the majority of the gidim still exist. If Sikatini, if the two smaller ones are snapped, as the Rov Minyan, then you're missing Rov Minyan of the Gidim, even though you still have Rov Binyan. In order to be Machshir, the Behema, some of the Gidim are cut, you need Rov Binyan and Rov Minyan to still be there. So if either the larger one is cut or the two smaller ones are cut, no good. The only way it would still be okay if one of the smaller ones are cut. So then you still have Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan. Another possibility of what Rav Zvid said that's a little more makel, Mar Bar Avashi Masni Lekula, that he learned Shitas Rav Zvid Lekula, that you don't need Rov Binyan and Rov Minyan in order for it to be kosher. You need Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan in order for it to be kosher. If Sikalima, if the big one is cut, Ha'ika Rov Minyan, don't worry, you still have the majority of the Gidim intact. If Sikatini, if the smaller ones are cut, Ha'ika Rov Binyan, don't worry, you still have the Rov Binyan that are intact. So what about on a bird? How many gidim are there by a bird? Meaning it sounds pretty simple by a behema, because there are only three gidim. So you just have to figure out which daya of Rav Zvid we paskin like. But ba'ofos shitzar chute havu. By an oaf, there are 16 different gidim. Ipasuk chadmi nayu trefa. And if any one of these 16 gidim are cut, then the bird is a trefa. Amar Mar Bar Avashi, havekim nekameta abba. Mar Bar Avashi says, you know, I was once by my father, by Rav Avashi. And they brought him a bird. It used to be that rabbis would get a lot of shaylas about birds and hilchos trefas. That used to be a major part of learning, for smicha, because that's something that every local rabbi had to know. Nowadays, most smicha programs just cut it out entirely. It's not necessary unless you work for Empire or something. Ubadak va'ashkach bechameser, and they. And they searched the Tzomas HaGidin, and they found that there are 15, that there weren't 16. But there was one gid that looked different than the other ones. So nafse v'ashkach trei. So he separated it out, and he found that there were actually two there. So he was about to be matrefit, because there are 16 gidim, and if even one is missing, the whole thing's a trefa. And he counted, and he only counted 15. But he knew, he had an eye. He knew that one of these 15 looked a little unusual, so he was able to uncover it and separate it out, and to realize that it was really a combination of two gidim, and that the bird was perfectly kosher. So that was his heroic psak. So the Gemara explains how an animal becomes Shrefa when the Tzomus HaGidin is cut. Amar Avidam Rav, Tzomus HaGidin Sha'amru Birubo. And when we say that if the Tzomus HaGidin is cut, that the animal is a Shrefa, that means the rove of it is cut. My Rubo, what rove are we talking about? Rove Echa Mehen. That if rove of one of the Gidim is cut, then it's a Shrefa. I mean, you don't need that one Gid to be cut entirely, just Rubo Kikulo. If rove of that Gid is cut, it's also a Shrefa. When I said this in front of Shmuel, Amali Michti Tlasa Havuk, Shmuel said, wait. There are only three Gidim in the Behema. Ki Mifsik Chad Minay Legamri Ha'ikatrei. If there, since there are three Gidim in the Tzomus HaGidin, even if one of them is entirely cut, you still have two Gidim left, and it should still be kosher because Rov of the Gidim are Kayim, and it's not a Treifa when only one Gid is cut. So Taima Dikatrei. So says Gemara Diuk. The reason that Shmuel says kosher is because there are two Gidim that are still intact. Halekatrei, but if there are not two that are still intact, lo, then it would be a treifa. Upliga de Rav Noi. So Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel is against what Rav Noi said in the name of Shmuel, right? Because the Amr Rav Noi, Amr Shmuel, Tzomus HaGidin afilu lo nishtayir ba ela kechut asar bal ksheira. That Rav Noi said in the name of Shmuel that even if one tiny part of it is not cut, even the width of a sarbal, a certain type of string, is not cut, the animal is going to be kosher. And the Pashtus is, he means to say that two of the gidim are entirely cut, and from that third gid you have a chutar sarba left, and that's why it's against what we just said in the name of Shmuel. The Igada Amri, others say that a little bit differently. What Rabbi the Amarav said that my rubo rove kol echad ve'echad. Rove means rove of each of the gidim. That only if all of the gidim are cut birubam is it going to be a treifa. And when I said this in front of Shmuel, Amr Li said, Michti, Tlasa Havu. There are only three Gidin to begin with. Ha'ika Tilta, Dekol, Chad V'Chad. But the Tzomus HaGidin has three Gidim, one third of each Gid remains, and therefore it should still be kosher. Meaning having, even if the majority of two thirds of each of the Gidim are cut, Shmuel still thought it should be kosher. Misayele L'Rabnai, and that's a riot to what Rabnai said in the name of Shmuel. Dam Rabnai, Amr Shmuel, Tzomus HaGidin Shamru, Afilu Nolan Shtayr, by that even if just a chutas arbal is remaining from it, it's going to be kosher. And what he means to say is that each a chutas arbal of each of the gidim, not the way we understood them before, that two of them are cut legamri and one of them has a chutas arbal. No, but he's saying a chutas arbal of each of the gidim is going to be left. That's going to be kosher. Good. Then the Mishnah spoke about if the bone is broken. So it all depends on whether you have rov basar kayim. That if you have rov basar kayim, the shchita is mitaher and the animal's kosher and the limb is a part of the animal, and that's kosher as well. But if you don't have rov basar kayim, then we view it like an evra medulldol, and the shechita is not mitaher that limb. So says Gemara Amarat, a broken bone that's not entirely cut, but the gidim are still mechuber to the rega like they always were. So lemalim in arkuva, if it's above the arkuva where it would make the animal trefa, imrova basar kayam. So if rov of the basar, the or in the basar that covers that bone is still intact, zevze mutter. Then the aver and the behema are both mutter because that limb is still considered connected to the animal. The shechit of the animal makes that limb kosher as well. The imlav, but if rov of the basar, If rov of the of the shever is not covered by basar, rov of the broken bone is not surrounded by basar, zev zeh asur, then the aver and the behemah are both asur. The behemah is a treifa, and the aver is like an aver amedulldol that's also ba'achila, because the bone is considered to be completely cut off, and if it's nishpra etzem in a place that's not gorim treifas to the behemah, and it's gorim treifas to the behemah, the whole behemah is going to be treifa. Lemat min arkuva, if it's in a place that would not be gori mitreifa to the behemah, it's below the arkuva. So im rov basar kayam, if rov of the basar around that break is still there, zev zemutir, then the limb is part of the animal and it's kosher with the shechita, and the animal itself is kosher because it's not a treifa. But v'im lav, but if you don't have the basar surrounding the majority of the shever, aver asr, the limb itself is going to be asr because it's considered to have been detached from the animal, so it's like Eivor Menachai, Ubehema Mutaris, but the behema itself is mutter, because the behema is very simply not a trefa. Ushmol Amar Bein Milamala Bein Lamata, whether the break is above the Arkuva or below the Arkuva, it all depends. Imrov HaBasar Kayam, if the majority of the basar that surrounds it is there, Zev Zem Mutter, the Eivor and the behema are mutter. Vimlav Eivor Asar Behema Mutaris. And if Rov of the basar is not there, the Eivor is going to be Asar, because it's going to be considered an Eivor HaMedulDol, but the behema is going to be mutter, even though it's broken the Malam in Arkuva. Because when the Mishnah says that if Nechtach HaEtzim, it's a Treifa, that's only if it's Nechtach LeGamri and the Gidim aren't there either. But when it's only bone and the Gidim are still intact, the behema is not going to be a Treifa. So that's a Chiddush of Shmuel, that even in Arkuva LeMaila, if all that's broken is bone, it's not going to make the animal a Treifa. So Maskef Rav Nachman LeShmuel, Rav Nachman asked Shmuel, how can you be Mechalik between the Eiver and the Behema? Yomru Eiver Mimena Mutal Ba'ashpa. Everyone's going to say, look, one limb of this animal that was an Eiver HaMedulDol had to be thrown into the garbage and, you know, could not be used. So Umuteres, and the rest of the animal is going to be Mutter. It's going to be such a Davra Matmiya. Everyone's going to wonder, what in the world is going on over here? How can you have one limb of the animal has to be thrown out and the rest of it is going to be Kosher? So that's, people are going to be very confused by that. Some So Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, what's the big deal? Why is that a kasha Shmuel? The Rav Nami. Even according to Rav, when the bone is broken, the matam in Arkuva, and you don't have Rav Basar Kayam, he said, Rav also said, the Eiver is us and the Behem was Mutter. So Yomri Eiver Mena Mutal Ba'ashba Umuteras. Everyone should still have the same kasha. How could it be that one Eiver is thrown in the garbage and the rest of the animals is Mutter? So Amalei, Rav Nachman was saying, what I meant to ask was as follows. Eiver Shechaya Mimena Mutal Ba'ashba Umeteres. That everyone knows that, according to Shmuel, we're talking about higher up on the leg. That's a part of the animal that gives it chiyus. So if that's Mutal Ba'ashba, and you're still going to be mat to the rest of the animal, that's going to be what's matmiya in people's eyes. So Shalchum Mitam, they sent the Pesach Halacha from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchus HaKavas HaDerav, that we pass on like Rav, that if the break is L'mala Me'arkuva, and you don't have Rav Basar Kayim, the behemoth is going to be Asar as well. It's a Treifa. Hadav Shalchu Kavas HaShmuel. Then they sent a second Psak Halacha, like Shmuel. Hadav Shalchu Kavas HaDerav. Then a third Psak Halacha, like Rav. And then they added on that third Psak Halacha that the limb itself is metame with tumas masa like an Eivor Menachai, because we're assuming that Shechita osa nipul, that the Shechita causes the Eivor HaMedulDol to be considered as if it were cut off prior to the Shechita. So it has the din of Eivor Menachai Minatora that is tame, and it's metame anyone who carries it. So Masav Rav Chista, so Rav Chista asks on what we just said, that Shechita is also Nipul, and the Eiver is Tamei B'tumas Eiver Menachai. You know, we had a Brisa a few days ago where a Machlokas from Meir and the Chacham in the Mishnah about an Uber that sticks its Yad outside of the mother prior to the Shechita, that a Meir holds Shechita also Nipul, and that Eiver is Tamei as Eiver Menachai, and the Chachamish say that Shechita is Mitar the Eiver from Tumas Eiver Menachai. So even though it's not Machshir Ba'achila, it's Mitar from Tumas Eiver Menachai. So Reb Meir had said to the Chachamim, "Lo, im tiara shchita streifa osa ve'sever medulul ba davar shagufa titaras uber davar sheinu gufa." You know, we do find that a shchita of a treifa will be mitahir the treifa, and will be mitahir an aver that's medulul from a treifa, because that's all part of the animal that you're shechting. But why should it be mitahir the limb of the fetus that stuck out of the mother? But what do you see? That according to everybody, an aver medulul, the basis of the conversation is that an Eivor HaMedulDol is tahar al yidei shchita. So Amalei Rava, Rava would respond, Hadurei apirchi lamalach. Why are you looking for kashas from the Brisa? You could have just asked me straight from the Mishnah, because we're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin that tells us as follows. Nishchita behema huchshru b'dameha. The dam shchita is makshru the behema to be makabel tumas ochlin, even if the dam didn't touch all of the limbs of the animal. Divra meirib. Shimon omar lo huchshru. That it's not makshru lekabel tumah. So Amalei Rav Chista said to Rava that I dafka asked from Brisa, not from the Mishnah, because Nisan, you could lidchu, you could dachinan. The kasha from the Mishnah, you could be docha, like the Gemara did on Ayin Gimlam Beis, that the Eivra Meduldal is tamei tumas Eivra Menachai, and it does not require hachshir. And when the Mishnah says huchshu b'dumeh, it's talking about basar hamaduldal, not an Eivra Meduldal. Kisalik Rabbi Zeru, when Rabbi Zeru went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rabbi Yirmiya, he saw Rabbi Yirmiya was the Talmud of Rav, the Yasav Kamil Lahashmaita, that was saying over Rav's Shita. So Amalei, so Rabbi Zeru said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Yasher, yeah, that's good what you're saying. V'chein tirgama Aryoch b'Bavel, and that's how Aryoch explained it in Bavel as well. Aryoch Mani, who's the Amora that they would refer to as Aryoch? So Shmuel, that is Shmuel, who's called Aryoch because the Aryeh is the king of the jungle, right? The lion is the melech among the chayos, and there is a din of Dina de Malchusa Dina, and the halach is Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedini. So since Dina de Malchusa Dina, and the Aryoch is the melech, and we always pass like Shmuel by Dini, and Shmuel's one that taught us Dina de Malchusa Dina, that's also just another twist. We don't find any other Amor in Shas that says that. So says Gemara, Vamiflag Palik, asking Gemara, what do you mean? Shmuel didn't agree with Rav. He disagrees with Rav. He's Matir Behema, even when it's broken, Lamala Me'arkuva. How could Rabbi Zeru say that Shmuel says just like Rav? So Hadabe Shmuel, Legabe de Rav. Says Gemara, Shmuel changed his mind. And ultimately, he admitted to Rav that even the Behemas, that the Behemas is going to be Asr when it's Nishbar, Lamala Me'arkuva, and Rov of the Basar is not Kayam. Okay, we'll stop there. And Bezram will pick up with Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow, and we'll try to finish up the parah.